to the conclusion of the actual kuntres itself, the sefer itself, and then afterwards we're going to continue. The Rebbe has a number of short hadrochas, short pieces of advice, practical advice, how to put into use some of the principles, some of the ideas that we learned in the Sefer. And we'll go through those hadrochas as well. And then we'll conclude the Mitzvah Shem with a tefillah that we have from the Tzaddik also. The Piazetzner wrote a number of tefillahs. And the tefillahs are also Torahs and have to be learned properly. So on page 47, last week we were talking about something very important. We were learning about the concept of memshala. Memshala, which means control. Control, sovereignty. There's nothing to do with the memshala in Eretz Yisrael. Memshala means that a person, in order for a person to be able to be matzliach in his avodas Hashem, it's not enough that he's intellectually reach certain true conclusions and he has good ideas. You and I know that generally we spend our entire lives filled with good ideas. We have a lot of plans. Chazal say Rishoy Meleim Charotis means that people who are wicked are always filled with regret that they weren't able to accomplish what they planned, or that they did things that they shouldn't have done. But as far as lemaise, carrying out one's plans in Avodas Hashem, so that the Piazetzner, you're learning that a Jew must have this Ruach HaMoshel, a certain spiritual sense of empowerment, a feeling of Gevuras HaNefesh. And we were talking about this last week. You can't be an Eved. You can't have the personality of someone who has no sense of kayach, who has no feeling, or no sensitivity to his own kayach as a nefesh. I mentioned last week what the Balatanya teaches us is that if two people are engaged in a wrestling match, the one who is excited, the one who has that ruach gvura, he is going to defeat the other one, even though the other one might be physically stronger. The second guy might be physically stronger, but he's lacking in this koach of memshala and ruach hamoshel, and therefore he's going to lose. So at the end of page 46, so the Rebbe was telling us, therefore it's necessary that a person begin to realize the ruach hamoshel that he has, his own koach as a nefesh, and in order to recognize that, since most of us, since the time that we're in this world, we see ourselves as extremely weak, even though we might have confidence in our intelligence, or we might have confidence in our business abilities, or we might have confidence in our athletic abilities. But when it comes to our koiches and nefesh, generally we have very little confidence. And the reason that we have little confidence is that we could point to a history of terrible failures in this area. So even though a person could say that in basketball, I could shoot 50-60%. I'm not a bad foul shooter. When it comes to softball, I could get a hit or two each game, so therefore I have a little bit of confidence when I get up to bat that there's a likelihood that there is a 30% chance that maybe I'll hit the ball, I'll get a hit. And when it comes to fielding, for sure, if the ball is someplace within a couple of feet, maybe I'll get to it. But when it comes to Ruchnius, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, we have a past that's filled with shortcomings, failures. And therefore we tend to think that we don't have this Ruach HaMoshel, we lose this feeling of confidence when it comes to Avodas Hashem. So the Rebbe says, therefore, it's necessary for a person to realize himself and to practice, to exercise, like anything else in life. If you don't exercise, you can be a very strong person, but if you don't work out, if you don't exercise, then over the years you become flabby, you lose your ability to have access to your own strength. Therefore, the Rebbe mentions, for example, We already have from the Rishonim such a concept that a person should eat, but at the height of one's appetite, on the bottom of page 46, at the height of one's appetite, that a person should, instead of going ahead and eating and stuffing yourself until you can't eat anymore, that is brought down in this Sfarim HaKadoshim, for instance, to have once in a while, he says, a cup of coffee without sugar. Without sugar. Now, even though it's not gishmak, without sugar, and you don't really enjoy that, or the example that we have from the Ravid and from other Rishonim, that a person, let's say, your favorite food, not that you should throw it out, you're not allowed to stomp throughout food, but to stop halfway. Not just when you feel a third full, but you're bechlal not full. Why would a person do this? Why would one torment oneself? This certainly does not seem to be the way of Yiddishkeit, and it's not the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov, for sure not the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov, to deprive oneself. They say by the Chassidim, it says in Pasuk, as Hashem Elokecha, Tira. So that as Hashem Elokecha, you should fear God. So the Sfarim say, eat, Abba Hashem Elokecha, Tira. But you should fear God. In other words, the point is not to fast, the point is eat. So what's going on here that the Rebbe is telling us to engage in such practices that we're supposed to hold back half of our meal or not to put the sugar in the coffee? And the Rebbe says himself, I don't mean this on a regular basis, but what I'm saying is that occasionally, once in a while, a person has to, in the most simple way, he has to prove to himself that he's not just some sort of a bal taiva, that every single taiva that comes his way, he runs after. He's a person that has kaychus hanefesh. He has this ruach hamoshel. He has the ability to tell his guf what to do. To tell his body what to do. And I've mentioned this a number of times in shul, that it's brought down in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. It's an interesting thing. How, and I might have mentioned it even in the shiur here, that we're learning b'nei machshava taiva. It's interesting with people, that when a person wants something very badly, he, inside of his head, he hears it in such a way of ani roitze, or in English, I want this. But when it comes to resisting his yetzahara, he usually hears it like, you shouldn't do this. It's an interesting thing. Not I shouldn't do it, but you shouldn't. He's already losing. When a person has a taiva, he says, the taiva is not, you should try this. It's never like that. The taiva is, I want this. He's identifying with it. Ani rosa. I want it. In other words, it somehow pleases the ani inside of me, the I inside of me. But when it comes to the Yetzirah, so then you say, then you hear a little voice saying, maybe it's already begeth a suffix. Maybe you. It's already not ani, it's already ata. That means already, you're no longer identifying with yourself. Because your thought is, I really want to do something wrong, but maybe you shouldn't. You was already, and then there's such a thing that Rav Kook said, that you're so vite, you're so far, that you already say, he isn't being a good boy. On yourself. There's such already a harchoke from the etzim of who you are, that you don't even speak, not in the first person, not the second person, but you've become the third person. But when it comes to taivas, ani. Therefore the Rebbe says that, you don't even know who the ani is inside of you. You don't know that you have a karech to be misgabered. You don't know that you have this ruach ha-moshel within you, and therefore you must engage in certain exercises to reveal the kaychas and nefesh that are within you, to identify with that ani, to feel a sense of empowerment, and therefore to have more confidence in your Avodas Hashem. We don't have confidence. We feel that we can't do it, and we feel that we can never overcome these things, and therefore when it comes to, especially the certain aveyus, when it comes to Lashon Hara, forget it, it's not even shayach. Lashon Hara, that's for tzaddikim, for yeshiva bochrim, for the women that have the Shemitz Aloshim campaigns. It's not, Chavetz Chaim wasn't talking about me, because he knows that I'm such a low yitzluch, halavai, the Baruch Shem should be happy that I'm Shemesh Shabbos. Right? I'm going to, Shemitz Aloshim, because the Baruch Shem gave us all mitzvahs, and all drabbanans, and all the menhagim, means that each and every one of us, befrat, has the kaychas and nefesh, ki karva lecha davim ha'ay, that we're able to do these things. But we don't have confidence. So you know when a guy's in a slump, when it comes, l'havdol, when it's by baseball, when a guy's in a slump, what does that mean, Bechlal? So you know that all the Mepharshim say that when a person's in a slump, the pshat's not just that he's having a bad day. He begins to lose confidence, and then you see that even the greatest batters, they begin to start to fiddle around with their stance, they begin to do unnatural things in their batting, where all they need to do is to come to terms once again with the ani, with the ruach hamoyishal that they have, and other rabbi to move ahead with confidence. Then you could win. So on the top of page 47, as a klal hazat tishmar, lechem oichel lechem achol lasoiva. So the Rebbe says, yes, that a person can eat. A person's allowed to eat. I will dvarim ha'arevim l'cheich levad, teisha bedin al kol ha'isu le'isu. But if it's something that's particularly enjoyable, if you find your heart racing when it comes to that part of the smorgasbord, right? You find it's very exciting to your palate. So he says, then teisha b'din al kol ha'isu l'isu. Then it's good once in a while to have a little bit of a din, a little bit of a beis din in your head. Al kol ha'isu l'isu, with every single chew, with every single moment of chewing, you should think a little bit. Im yesh l'fenecha shnei mini basa l'mashal l'minechad arev l'cha yosef, afilu she'en ato margish b'kibcha kol kach taive lov. Two types of meat are brought to the table. One is one that you really like. He says, even though right now you might not feel that you must have it. But they brought out a number of things. And this is your favorite food, right? This is your favorite meat. And therefore naturally your eyes turned immediately, even though you're not such a, right now you don't have such a big taiva. But, you know, you're attracted to that. You're attracted to it, and naturally your eyes fell upon it. There's such a hergel that a person has. We've become so used, there's such a hergel that a person has, that even at a time when a person is not, even when a person is not feeling necessarily a taiva, he's busy with something. L'moshel, when it comes to a different type of a taiva, so you'll have that a person, even though he's not at the moment, he doesn't feel a hergish for the taiva, for the desire at that moment. But if an attractive woman will pass by, that's already, you might as well look. We're so far from Shemir Zainayim, even though it's not like you have a taiva. It's not like you have a taiva, but the thought is, I should have a taiva for this. I'm just busy. So maybe I'll just register this. And then later on, when I'm not so busy, I'll be able to chaz it over a little bit, you understand? I'll be able to think about it. We have such a hergel to taiva, to desires, that we don't, even if we don't feel a taiva. But when it catches the eye, then the thought is, lamazayn, you know, let me take a look. So the Rebbe says that the meat is brought to the table, and it's also, you take a look at it, and as he says, you should know that there's already a blade, there's already a sword, a sharpened sword that's hovering over that piece of meat. And once, he doesn't mean this is a regular practice. He's not saying it, as he said before. But he says that, you know, once in a while, push that away. Don't have it. Don't look. Or if you already looked, and now the taiva is starting a little bit, get used to, try to see that you have a ruach hamoyishal. You're not this weak animal.
By the possible, not by the...
Huh?
By the possible.
Yeah.
Not by other examples.
No, yeah. So you're right. That's a different type of... You have to deal with that differently. But also la'archiko, right? V'chein b'chlal oyev boser ata. Let's say you're a person that you're a big oyev boser. You like meat. Eini oyem alucha shalei toichel boser l'gamrei. The Rebbe's saying, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have any meat. But many times what you should do is say to yourself, Moishul ani alatzmi. I'm the balabas over here. Moishul ani alatzmi. I rule over myself. Vani mitzava oisi. Hear this? We never do such a thing. We're always bossing everybody else around. We tell our workers what to do. We tell children what to do. We tell wives what to do. Did you ever think that it's possible to tell yourself what to do? This is a foreign thing. You never heard or thought that a person could be domineering over himself. There's no such concept. One will dominate everybody else in the world. And anybody that comes into your four amas is a subject in your kingdom. But what about yourself? What about to be yourself? So he says, Moishla ni al atzmi. I rule over myself. Vani metzava oisi. And I command myself. I instruct and command myself. Shlolech l'hayoyim bosa. Today I don't have to eat meat. Again, that is a practice. He's not talking about it as a practice, but to see once in a while, yekoyches a nefesh. And he's not talking about something that's forbidden. He's not talking about a piece of treif. Because over there we don't have a big milchama. There's no war when it comes to a piece of treif. For most people, or shem and mitzvahs, it's not a war. It's not like the person passes by the window and he sees somebody eating some chaz and he starts to think, oh, he's such a lucky guy, I wish I could do that. But with dvarim shel hatar, with those things that are permitted to oneself. Because here a person begins to taste kedusha. And not only that, but if you realize the chachma of the tzaddik, how come he doesn't talk this? Why is he talking to us here about dvarim shel hatar? How come he's talking to us about fleish, about meat that's permitted? Why doesn't he talk about something that's also, like I mentioned before, an eshes ish, something like that, that's forbidden? Right? Why is he talking about something that's permitted? So it could be that the Rebbe thinks that what the Rebbe is saying here is that for many people, we feel so weak that many of us feel like it's not even shayach for us to overcome Isser, right? It's not even shayach for us to deal with Isser. and we can't plan it out. It's just when the taiva happens, we fail and we get caught up in the passion of the moment, and chalila, we lose. But the Rebbe is saying, therefore, is in order for you to recognize the ruach hamoyshel, then let's not talk about such sensitive moments of when you're confronting something that's an ister mamish. We're talking about kosher meat, and therefore, it's something that you will sit down and you don't feel compelled to worry about the horror of eating this. It's 100% kosher. You washed, you made a bracha, and everything's fine. So here, the Rebbe says that you could begin to practice and to come into contact with that part of yourself that's strong. Because if you tell a person, don't look, if you tell a person right away, for instance, Shmir Seinayim, right? Don't look at that. It's not right to look at a woman. It's not proper. So a person feels, what are you talking about? It's not even shaykh. I can't. He doesn't even begin to work on himself because he never exercised. He doesn't have the Ruach HaMoshel. But if a person with Dvarim Shel Hatar begins, because here it's a little bit easier because it's a Dovrei Sheyesh L'Matirin, meaning he knows that if he doesn't have the meat right now, so he can hold back and he'll have it tomorrow, right? So to begin to exercise one's Ruach HaGvur, one's Koiches HaNefesh. And I spoke about this when the Sekalana Rebbe was here, that I mentioned that the Rosh Tevis of Hillel, one of the Rosh Tevis of Hillel is Harayf L'Shvulei, but another Rosh Tevis of Hillel is Lahidia Livnei Ha'odam Lamed, Lahidia Livnei Lamed Ha'odam Gvuraisa, which in Ashrei means to talk to people about Hashem's strength, but the Tzaddikim say that it means more than that. And it means what? L'haydil l'vnei ha'adam, teach that the job of a tzaddik is that the tzaddik goes and he teaches other Jews gvur reisav, means the gvur that the Jew himself has. L'haydil l'vnei ha'adam gvur reisav, a tzaddik goes and tells people, listen, Rabbi, you don't know, you have so much strength, you never even tried. L'haydil l'vnei ha'adam gvur reisav. For instance, you understand that a good teacher is able to bring out from a child all of those koiches and nefesh and koiches Haseichel, right, of the intellect and of the and emotional kaiches. A good teacher is able to draw it out. How does a good teacher do that? Because it could be that kid, from the time that he's a little kid, people are telling him, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. His father's mother say, you're an idiot, you're stupid. The teachers, the other teachers, you're stupid, you're an idiot. We're going to throw you out of school. You get notices and all this. When there's finally one teacher that comes along and says, that this one teacher is able to say, listen, you have tremendous strengths. You have tremendous koiches and nefesh. You never tried. You don't even know. You don't even realize what koiches you have. That's the inyan of lahidil of nehodim. And you know, what was the midah of Hillel HaZaken? His midah was the midah of Chesed. It says in Kisvei Ari that Hillel was a merkabah for the midah of Chesed. Then Hillel HaZaken was the embodiment of Chesed, of loving kindness, as we know from Shas and from Medrash, that Hillel was the embodiment of loving kindness. The greatest taiva that you could do for a Jew is to show him his koiches and nefesh. The greatest thing you could do for another Jew
is to show him how much strength he has. As to show him how great a person he is. To give him a big hasaga. Bigger hasagas of who he is. You know, this I once mentioned this. They say Torah from Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. They say from other tzaddikim, but I heard it first from Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, that this is the parasha of the man, right? We talk about this parasha of Bishalas, the man. The food that the Baruch Shalom sent us, he sent us man. So I once mentioned to you, that I told you Torah from Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, that he said, you know, we know that the man tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like, right? Whatever you had in mind, that's what the man tasted. So he said that, he has the kasher of Yitzchak Vorka. He says when the Jews were in the Midbar, when we were in the Midbar, everything was taken care of for us. With the Anani HaKovid, and with how we were walking, and with our clothing, and with our food, we had the man, everything's taken care of. So he asked, how was a Jew able to do a chesed for another Jew? What was there to do? What kind of a toivah can you do for someone else? The Baruch Shalom was taking care of everything. So, if Olam Chesed Yibana, if the whole world depends upon us exercising that koach of Chesed, so what Chesed, what kindness, what acts of kindness were we able to do for each other in the desert when everything the Baruch Shalom took care of? So Yitzchak Vorka said like this. He says, one day in the Midbar, you have a Jew, and he's sitting down and he's eating the man. And the Levi passes by, or a Kayan passes by, and he asks him, tell me, my friend, what are you thinking of when you're eating the man? I want to know, what are you thinking of today when you're eating the man? So he says, Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka says that this yid says, I'm thinking about a piece of schmaltz herring. Piece of herring. So the Levi says to him, you know, the Levium weren't in the Sheba, they weren't enslaved. So Levi says to him, Shaita, you're not a slave anymore. That's all you can think of is a piece of herring? You should be thinking of steak, of a good piece of flanken. What's the matter with you? What are you? Are you still thinking of a piece of herring? That's your biggest hasag is a piece of herring. You could think of whatever you want, and all you're thinking of is a piece of herring. You're such a small-minded person. So Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka says that was the chesed that one Jew could do with another Jew in the Midbar, to do what? To help him have bigger hasagas. To stop thinking like a slave, like an idiot. The biggest chesed that a Jew could do for another Jew, the biggest chesed that one yid could do for another yid, is lahidi levnei ha'adam gevreisav. Is to remind him that he's stronger than he thought he was. To help him realize that potential. This kaiches anefesh. That's what a good therapist is supposed to be doing. On a physical level, a good doctor would help with that. To it's not just a question. The best doctor is somebody that I know these things, but I would imagine that the best doctor would be concerned not just to have this person become dependent upon medication for the rest of his life and feel that he has that he's a totally weak person and that without medication he's going to die. Of course he has to be administered proper medication, but I think that a good doctor has to also give him chizik to bring him back to a state of health and confidence. No, am I wrong? To make him feel that he's okay, that he could do it. He could be matzliach. To give him a feeling of gvura, that he has gvura. Of course, you have to take medicine, but not like you're a helpless, weak person that's standing on the threshold of death. Unless you take this pill for me, that I'm the bal chesed. I'm giving you this pill. This is going to save your life. It could be that he needs the pill still to save his life, but you can't sap him of a certain feeling of gvura that he has to have in order to live, to be able to have his confidence. And we're dealing with old people, with the elderly, to give them a feeling of koiches hanefesh, od yinuvim b'seiva, that even in their old age, the person can accomplish a great deal, till the last day of his life, that he can accomplish a great deal. Not just that he withers away chalila and he feels because with an older person, with a very old person, then if he feels that, then he loses his cheshek for life, and then it's just a matter of time. And if you've ever been to a nursing home, Nabuch, and you see some of the yidden, you see people sitting there like they have no cheshek, they have no tachlis. Lahidi levnei ha'adam gevreisav. So the Rebbe says, you could tell yourself, you know what, if you don't have this piece of meat, and if you have a piece of bread instead, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. I told you that in my house, and I'm sure anybody that came from Holocaust survivors, I know in my house, I told this many times in shul, that if my sister and I, if it slipped out from the mouth, that we came home, we said, "Oh, mommy, where's supper? I'm starving." That was it. Forget it. Because I remember on at least, I could think of myself at least three occasions, where, because, you know, with the friends, you say, "I'm starving." You mean starving? I'm starving. The person means, "I haven't eaten since lunch." That's what it means in America. Or it could be even worse. It could be, "I didn't eat since the potato chips a half hour ago." So, to use such a lotion, "I'm starving." So I remember clearly I had this picture that of coming to the table, and because, you know, you pick up the lotion. And from the between the television and the friends and just that way of being in America, so I came to the table, and my mother had my favorite stuff prepared. It was ready. It was on the stove. I sat down. I said, "Good mommy, I'm starving." So my father looked at me. He says, "Go to your room." I said, "What? Like mommy's serving supper in my room tonight?" I told you that was my father's idea of eating out. Did I ever tell you that? My friends, I came home once with a time that my friends always eat out. So my father said, "Take your food and go to the porch." That's what my father said. He said, "You can eat out." It was the winter. He says, "You want to eat out? Go ahead. Please, go ahead. Eat out." I have a time that all my friends, they go to nice restaurants every once in a while with their family, eat out. So I had, you know, my father says, "Go to your room." He says, "You're starving? Oh, you're starving?" He says, "Nothing for you tonight. Nothing. Go on. There's not a glass of water." So that would look very harsh. Probably nowadays they might even send the police. Right? The kid would call the police. I mean, I would have called. Nowadays you can call the police. And they're ready to, you know, there's an order of protection. Right? LMI. That my father said, to "You hungry? No. You're starving? You know what it means, starvation? You have a hasaga of what starvation is. God forbid, you should never know from it." A person doesn't realize how we fall into certain ways of thinking that I can't live without this piece of meat. I can't live without it. So the Rebbe says, you know something? You're not going to die. Chas v'sholem. Imtimna atam imenu. Tovin es advarim halal of yishom abeham, the Rebbe says. Understand these things and be careful. Yois v'masha kosov kan. There's much more I haven't written here. Ki ata v'kol chaye nafshecha tluyim behem. You hear these words? Ki ata, you, v'kol chaye nafshecha, and your entire life, all that you have, are dependent upon understanding what I've taught you here. It's true. Aishchav, and here's the Rebbe, ends the kuntris. Kol tachli seinu hi... The whole tachlis of our lives and all the avoida that he's been talking about in the B'nai Machshava Tova. The whole tachlis is what? Shenishapach mi ben shivcha le ben melech. Yeah? That we should no longer be the children of slaves. Shenishapach mi ben shivcha le ben melech. That we should be transformed, that we should change. From being what? From being a ben shivcha. What's a ben shivcha? A ben shivcha is a person, the son of a slave. A ben shivcha is a person who feels that he has no kaychas. That he was raised in slavery. And he'll never be free. He'll never be free. You know, I once told you that the Ishbitzer said, even though a person swallows the matzah without tasting the matzah, he's yotze the mitzvah v'chilas matzah. But bolo moror, the Gemara says lo yotze. But if you swallow the moror without tasting it, you're not yotze. Why is that? So the Yisbitzer said, because if you don't taste the bitterness of slavery, you'll never be free. You hear the vart? If you don't taste the bitterness of what it means to be a slave, if to you being a slave is a normal way of life, if for you giving in to every desire is the way of life, so then you'll never be free. You don't even taste the bitterness. In other words, that example of the Jew who nebuch every single time there's a woman passes by, he has to look, or he's not in control of his machshavas. He doesn't taste the bitterness of that. He doesn't realize what's wrong with him. He doesn't even feel that there's anything wrong with being a slave anymore. This is what I am. What am I? Ani abdachav ben amazachav, you know. I grew up in slavery. This is who I am. Therefore, every single time if I'm nichshel in this, that I fail in this area of my life, it's not bichlam out of failure. This is who I am. And if a person, therefore, bola morah lo yotze, if you swallow the morah and you don't taste that it's bitter, because it's true, sometimes a person is nichshel, sometimes we fail, but at least you have to taste the bitterness of the failure. It has to bother you. You have to feel that something is wrong. But if you're some nisragel, if you're a person that you grew up in slavery, and you look at yourself, be'etzim, God forbid, I am an eved, I'm a slave. So then it doesn't have any merirus. If somebody spits at you or smacks you over the, you don't, it doesn't, what are you going to do? I'm a slave, I deserve to get smacked. I don't have any feeling of ruach ha-mashal that I shouldn't get smacked. So he says the whole tachlis of our lives is what is to transform ourselves from being a ben shivcha, a slave, the son of a maidservant, of a slave, the ben melech, to be a ben melech, to have a kind of confidence, to have a feeling of a connection to memshala, to be able to command, not just command others, but to command oneself. Because the greatest test of that, the greatest test of whether you're a ben melech is not whether you can give other people orders. Anybody can give other people orders. The greatest test is to see whether you can give yourself orders. Then you know you're a ben melech. If you can give orders to yourself, then you're ben melech. That's malchus, to give orders to yourself. V'niskarev b'avadaseinu m'nachar harichayim al-heichel ha-melech v'kisei ha-kovid. He says, from spending your whole life standing, working, you know, like in the filth, behind the grindstone, like, you know, in the filth, to being a person that's able to move into the heichel ha-melech, to live in the royal chamber. It's a different life. The Rebbe's not talking about this aveira, that aveira. He doesn't go into that all. In the whole sefer, the Rebbe doesn't talk about this aveira, that aveira. You see that. He doesn't go into aveiras. But the Rebbe's talking about a certain mindset of malchus. And malchus, this is what he was trying to tell the young men, that were these chassidim, these young chassidim who were part of his malchus. That you're a ben melech. You're a ben melech. You're not a ben ha-shivcha. Get out of that mindset of being a ben shivcha. And enter into that world of the malchus, into the malchus of what? The malchus apnimius. That malchus that you have to rule over yourself. And to come close to the kisei ha-kovid. Zois emeres. Shaloi bilvad shenavadis Hashem rak shenavadis Hashem. It's not enough just, you see, this is what you, how do we live? This is generally our life, I mean, I'm speaking for myself and I'm sure for many of you. Usually the way that we think is like this. Okay, Sukkot is coming up. Sukkot is coming up, and Sukkot consists of a number of mitzvahs. So I have to take care to get the Arba Minim. Okay, so either I'll stop by the store, or I'll talk to maybe the inshul they're selling. I got to take care of the Lulav Nesser. The Sukkah, there was a problem last year with the Schach. I got to go to Pergament, I got to do this, I got to do that, right? These are all holy thoughts. And I got to take care of the following things. And I remember there was a problem. I want to extend it a little bit. I got to do this, and I have to remember to get a table. And in our minds, we go through all of this, all of these things that every good person who serves Hashem thinks of. There's only one thing that we never think of. We think of every single nail that we have to pick up in Pergament or Home Depot. We think of every single thing, and we think of these are great thoughts. And we're thinking of all the steps that must be taken in Avdas Hashem. So Pesach, we have to do this, we have to do that, we didn't take care, we have to take care of this part of the kitchen, do that, I have to make, or whatever it is. We think of all of the details of Avdas Hashem. One thing is missing. We don't stop and think, I want to be an Eved Hashem. We think of in other words, we think of the jobs, we don't think of the position. Right? We think of the jobs. I have so many jobs to do as a Jew. I got to get up, I got to go to Minyan, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. But we don't think of the position of being a Jew. The position of being a Jew, and under whose employment I am. Who am I? You can think your whole life, and that's why you know that Chas v'Shalom, a Yontif could become tedious. On Yom Tov can become tedious. It's a little bit too early in the season for me to scream about the hotels and Pesach. You know, I usually wait till after Purim. But since I see that the newspapers, they're already started Chanukah time. They're already working from Chanukah to take away from us our Cheshek to be Avdi Hashem. I'm not talking, I always make the disclaimer, I'm not talking about people that the families have an opportunity, the cousins and relatives to get together. That's a gewaldige thing. I'm certainly not talking about people who are not well or they're old, too old. But I'm talking about when the only reason to go away is because I'm too frightened by the thought of Pesach. I'm not talking about any... Not when there's sometimes there's a good reason, and certainly there's some of the women that they're just overwhelmed, and certainly it's a chesed. I'm not saying, please don't take me the wrong way, but I'm talking about this new thing that came up over the years, that Pesach became something which is a bedeved to make your own Pesach. What am I going to do? You know, if you can't go away, if like your wife is expecting the next day, and so then bedeved, what are we going to do? We have to make Pesach. Don't worry, we'll order everything. We'll order everything. We're gonna. I'll call. Maybe there's some service. They'll have people come in and make everything Pesach dick. Why? And we have a certain dread that even when you hear the word Pesach, right? Because as soon as it's going to be, it's not so far. It's not so far. I was already having arguments with the matzah bakery this week about the times and everything. It's not so far. So what is it that you think and you have that feeling of dread? It's not because we don't want to work hard. Everybody here is a hard worker. Everybody here knows how to work hard. What, when there's something you need to take care of in the house, or there's something at business, yeah, we know how to work hard. That's not it. It's not because of the physical labor. That's crazy. What, we're afraid to get down a little bit and to work? That's not true. Every one of us is okay with working. We do it all. That's not a problem. It's because it's so tedious that we don't feel a connection to it. If someone were telling you that you clean the chametz and this is you're cleaning the chametz for your biggest client and maybe you're going to get the deal, maybe it would have a different thing, a different feeling. But the point is, since you don't feel yourself to be an Eved Hashem and you don't feel the privilege of getting on your knees to clean the chametz, let alone, you see, if a person feels that he's a ben shifcha, if you feel that you're a stam slave, so after a while, you know, you get sick of it. You get sick of it. So what do? You figure, I got to get away from this place. This is the house of bondage. My home is the Beis Avladim. I think that in the Torah it meant Mitzrayim. The Torah it meant Mitzrayim. But very often we go up and we think that my own house, you think of Pesach, oh, it's a Beis Avladim. My house is a Beis Avladim. What are you talking about? Your house is the place that mamish, where you belong. That's the place of... Where every single thing in that house has a piece of you in it. It says in the Svarma Kedoshim, it's your place. So what are you running? Be life day. Now, where are you going? Because you feel that it's a base of Avodah. Because you don't feel that you're an Eved Hashem. Because if you were thinking about the position of being an Eved Hashem, and not just the job, but the position and the honor of being an Eved Hashem, then Pesach wouldn't be a dirty word. Pesach would be a privilege to be Bnei Chayrim. What are we talking about? So I always think about this. Everybody runs away. Ta'ilim is running away to these places. And they stand up there and they say, they stand, Halach ma'anya. They're saying, Halach ma'anya. It's a gelechta. Halach ma'anya. Hashta avde. It's true. Hashata avde. It's true. Hashata avde. Because the biggest avdus is you can't even stay in your own house. You're forced to leave your own house. Achiyot the balapas. You have to leave. You have to leave because the avdus is too much over there. So you have to be able to be, that you shouldn't have to worry. And then, in a fancier way, this way I'll be able to learn, I'll be able to concentrate on the simcha of Pesach, you know, all these self-deceptions. The bottom line is, unless it's one of those situations I was talking about, that if you have an opportunity to be with grandparents together, zuch, you have to take, if you have that opportunity, I'm not talking about that. Or Eretz Yisrael, it's a different bechina. I'm not talking about Eretz Yisrael. But if a person is dumb to be able to go from here to there, because over there someone else brings me my food instead of over here, or over there someone else makes a bedikas chametz, and you know, you look at the luach before Pesach and you say, oh my goodness, I think we're going away this year. There's too much stuff on the luach. The luach is too busy. That means there are too many jobs. I don't want this. Too many jobs. Sorry. Yeah. How many? Four? Well, oy, oy, oy. I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do. So we have to do something about that, Mitzvah Shem. That's something we have to do. Shkayach. Okay. So we have to work on that. Yeah. So the Rebbe says, no. So to move from that place, Menachem Harechayim, from the place of a slave, El Heichel HaMelech V'Kisei HaKavod. El Heichel HaMelech V'Kisei HaKavod. And to be by the palace, and to be by the royal chamber. He says that's the tachlis of this little sefer. That's the tachlis of our avodah as Jews. Not just to go. You see, this is something that I found always growing up in yeshiva. They always were telling us, "This you're not doing right. This you could do better." And it's true, but I didn't find someone coming along and telling us that we're b'nei malachim. Well, most of the time, they were telling us, you know, you're a low yitzchak, you're nobody, and you're doing this and you're messing it up. Do it better. But if you don't feel that you're a ben melech, if you don't feel that you're a prince, if you don't feel that you're a ben melech, then it's just a big pain in the neck to do everything. It's a big hassle. I have to do noch mitzvah. And my Rebbe's telling me that I'm worthless, but I should do this mitzvah. Maybe if I do this mitzvah, then I'll be saved from hell. But that's not an approach to Yiddishkeit, because you're a ben shivcha. Because you're a ben shivcha, and what happened to them? But because that person is a ben shivcha, he's the son of a slave. He's betzim, he's a slave. Betzim, he's a slave, and he has to do this kind of work in the palace. But you know, somebody, if a person's a slave, and he got some job in the palace, he's still a slave, and all of his hasagas are of a slave, not of a free person. See, even though you're a person that you're doing a mitzvah, so that's something you're doing for the king, it's a gewaldige thing, but you're doing it only as what? As a ben shivcha, not as a ben melech. The Baruch Hu wants us to be his children. Not just to be a ben melech, it's avinu malkeinu. It's true that one has to be a ben melech, not just to be a ben, but also to be an eved. And the Zohar Kodesh says that we have these two madregas, because when it comes down to it, there's certain times in life that unless you accept poshut to be a slave, you're not going to be matzliach either. Right, because a child has a certain sensitivity, but afal pichein, we go through life without this sense of being b'nei malachim. That's what he says. So he says, "Bilvad shenavid Hashem, not just to serve God, to do those things. Rak shenasa, rak what? Sheneyasa oivdei Hashem. Sheneyasa oivdei. We should become oivdei Hashem. V'loy bilvad shenifal b'kedusha. It's not enough to do things that are holy. Rak sheneyasa batzmeinu kedoshim. Hear this." That we ourselves should become holy people. We're always doing holy things. Every mitzvah, every word of davening. But look at us, we stand there by davening and we're doing something holy. We're saying the words of tefillah, but we're not becoming holy. And you say, year after year, I'm davening for 50, 60 years. Ashrei, yishtabach, the whole thing. And I'm not changing. Because the reason is because you're only saying those words as a ben shivcha. As a ben shivcha. Therefore, I'm saying words that are holy. But I myself haven't become holy. I haven't changed. I'm just doing things that are holy. But I haven't become a person that's different. Almost everywhere you go, the people who are teaching, the rabbis who are talking, they're focusing on doing these things. Learn these things, do these things. But then this which is the tachlis of what? Sheneyose batzmeinu kedosha. That's a different vocabulary. It's a different mahalach. Sheneyose batzmeinu kedosha. Who's talking about that? Sheneyose batzmeinu kedosha. Not just to do this, do that, and this is the halacha, then declare, tzmachloikis, do this. Okay, you have to learn the halacha, but to talk to Jews about how is it sheneyose batzmeinu kedoshim. Lachen yochel kol ish lenasas es atzma bezeh. Therefore, you can test yourself. Acha kol avayda yistakel bekirbo. After you finish something in avaydas Hashem, he says once in a while take a look inside yourself and say like hispalalti, I davened. Lamadati, I just spent some time learning. I learned the Blat Gemara. Ha'im hinini margish bekirbi ezeruach tahira. Okay, I just finished davening. I just finished learning. Do I feel within me any sense of a ruach tahira, You can't pick that up. It doesn't. Do I feel within me? I hope it's something. Do I feel within me any ruach tahira? Any feeling of? It doesn't mean that you have to feel like inspiration, but something. He says, "Tia filo dakim and hadaka." Even if it's dakim and hadaka, even if it's what dakim and hadaka, even if it's just a little bit something. I just spent an hour learning. I just spent an hour davening. Do I feel any differently now, after I've davened for an hour, or learned for an hour, than I feel after I play ball for an hour? After I've been at work for an hour? After I've eaten? Do I feel anything different? I'm done learning. I just closed the Gemara. I just finished davening. I closed the siddur. Do I feel any different? The Rebbe says, you can test yourself. Do I feel anything, even a little bit different, than after I finished something in Yonim of this world? Hayimani margish ata gagurim lematzovi hakaidim shayisi based filosi vavadosi. Now that I've finished learning and I closed the Gemara and I have to go to work, do I think about how desperately I missed the Gemara? That I wish I could be back in the Gemara, or how I missed the davening. I wish I could be back in shul. He emargish ani min ke'ev leiv. You hear this? Do I feel some heartbreak, some pain in my heart? Al shenis rechakti min ata. Stay in shul longer, right? And yesterday was so gevaldig because we didn't have tachnun. It was Tu B'Shvat, or it was a gevaldig simcha because it was a vehurachim. It was a Thursday. It wasn't just a stam tachnun. It was a vehurachim. But you see, that's rachmanis on people like us. It's rachmanis on people like us that not only do we not feel that we missed the vehurachim. The vehurachim is so beautiful that we don't miss it. But adrabe, if I can get away from it, matoiv manoim. If I could avoid it, matoiv manoim. And if somebody would tell us that you could be yotzei with 5 minutes of davening a day, and the Baruch Shalom is not makpid on the half hour, 5 minutes in the morning is enough to get to Gan Eden. So sign me up. Where do I go? This is because we're unfortunately it's a ben shivcha, not a ben mela. It's a ben shivcha. She says, "Do I feel anything in my heart that's hurting?" Also nisrachakti min atahar v'yoyfi ha'elyon. Here I had an hour of tefillah, I had a time of davening, and during a time of davening I'm taking a peek into a higher world. I'm able to take a look into Yoifi Ha'elyon, into that great sublime beauty of something beyond this world. That's what davening is all about. And do I feel some heartbreak now that time has ended? That period of time has ended? Do I feel that? So he says, "Emes kol za'ataroy v'soivel." If you do see this, and you do feel this, and you suffer from this, simen hu, it's a sign. Sha'avaydoscha ritzuyihi lifnei amakam. It's a sign that your avodas Hashem is pleasing in the eyes of God. V'gam gufcha miskadesh b'avodoscha. And therefore, you should know that if you feel this, that means that you are becoming holy. You are in that program of Ne'ose kedoshim, of becoming a kaddish. If you feel that when you have to go away from the sefer, when you have to go away from tefillah, if you feel that, then it's a sign that the gamguvcha is kaddish b'avodoscha. It's a simon that you are becoming, that your body is becoming, that you're changing. Something's happening to you. Vim lav, but if not, then to'isa b'chol madrigasecha chasu shalom. Then you're making a mistake with all of your madrigas. You're just fooling yourself. The Rebbe says you're fooling yourself. You might close your eyes the right way. You might wear the nicest and longest levushim. And you might have the finest yichus and you go to the mikveh. You might do all the jobs. And the whole world thinks that you're fantastic. You're fantastic, Eved Hashem. But the Rebbe says that only you and the Baruch Shalom know that when you walk away from the Gemara, when you walk away from the tefillah, you're just fine. And then you're fooling yourself. To'isa b'chol madrigasecha chasu shalom. You're possibly making a mistake with all of your madrigas. And you're reading all these, your whole life, you're reading things in the Svarma Kedoshim and this and that and all these different daggers, and you're not even Aleph, b'chlal not. You didn't even start. You didn't even start. So if they're hearing this, so each one of us feels like just throwing in the towel, retiring, right? So the Rebbe says, Aval gam oz, al yipol libcha. He says, don't let your heart fall. Even when you realize this, because that's the beginning of your tikkun, being honest with yourself. It's the beginning. And sof kol sof, kosh baruch hu mekaper kal schar kol birya, sof kol sof, every mitzvah the Jew does, everything that you do, even if you do it just as a job, is gevaldik. And it certainly is a schus. And the person is certainly rewarded for every little thing that he does, even if he's a ben eved, ben shivcha. He's certainly rewarded for every single thing that he does. But in terms of who you really are, you could be fooling yourself. You could be fooling yourself. Teisa b'chol madrigosecha, aval gam az, the Rebbe says, even then, al yipol libcha. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, because, again, what's going to happen to the person is, you know what, the Rebbe is telling me that I am totally weak, and then I have no gevurah. It's not true. The Rebbe just spent this entire kuntris, this whole sefer, teaching us that we have gevurah. And we can become such people. But in order to begin working on it, you have to be honest. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to evaluate where you're holding. After all these years of going to shul and of going to shiurim, you have to be honest. Where are you holding, Lamaisa? Have you really changed? What's changed about you? How have you changed? And if the answer is, as it is in most of the world, what do you mean, how have I changed? I used to only go for one shiur, and I go for three shiurim. That's good. 100%. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you've changed. Lavdavka, even though we believe that every word of Torah is somehow, on some level, certainly it's affecting you. But you have to be careful not to fool yourself. A person thinks, look how I've changed. In the past I didn't have a beard, now I have a beard. For sure I changed. In the past I wore a regular suit, and now I wear more Shabbos like clothing and so on. So, but did you change? So he says, and even so, al yipol libcha, don't let your heart fall. Hatrufa loipola, he says that the medicine hasn't worked to such an extent. The medicine hasn't yet worked. Shanes es masnecha, what is that? Shanes? Okay, Shanis is masnecha. Give yourself that motivation and give yourself that koyach to push yourself. And adarabe, hachazek bavadoscha. The point of this is of this evaluation. The point of this honesty with oneself is not chalila to become weak, but it's to strengthen your resolve. To change, to strengthen your resolve to move ahead with the future.
This is a truth.
100% a truth. It's not. It's medication, but it doesn't. But it doesn't. Now you're going to see what the Rebbe says. How this is going to work. Look what he says.
When we're doing a void, we should have in mind that you want to be
100%. 100%. To be never done Hashem.
Why are you doing it?
It's a very good machshavah. It's a very good kavana. It's a very good kavana. So now look what he says. Is this a trufa? Look at the next page. Now here he gives Seder Hadrachu Klolim. Ashekzosim kva nichlu b'dvarenu le'el. He says here are some practical hadrachas, guidance, some of which has already been included in the kuntris, in the sefer. So here's the answer that Yehudi is asking. Is this sefer? Is this a trufa? So the Rebbe says, is this a form of medication? He says, "Dvarenu eila me'achsha varta lehem kvar." He says, "Now you finish the sefer, okay?" He says, "Now taschal mi'ata lekar michadash." Start reading again. Start learning it again. Taschal mi'ata lekar michadash. But he says like this: "Like adam shekari medaber machsholus rayonis v'kolis rap harpas koyis hanefesh el zulosai." But not like you're just reading about somebody else who's talking about his own. His own struggles, his own avoida. You know, you're reading this like when you read the sefer, it says you're reading about the Rebbe from Piazetz and his avoida, right? So we're going to walk away from this after finishing the Kuzuk Sefer. He must have been a great Jew. He must have been something. You see that book? Did you see that book? Because we know that every single thing in here, this was his life, right? This is a taste of the Rebbe's life. So we're all walking away, and we tell people, you know, you really should look at that safe. You want to see a picture of who the Piazetzna was? B'nei Machshava Tov. You get a taste of that tzaddik. So the Rebbe's saying, that's not why I wrote that. You got it all wrong. He says, read it again. Go through the whole kuntres again. But this time, not like someone who's reading about somebody else's thoughts, or somebody else's avoda. Raka Adam Shekari is divrei atzmai. You wrote the sefer. Look at it, review the sefer now, but as one that you yourself have written. Moshe l'shnei b'nei Adam sh'omim tehillim. So you have two Jews that are saying tehillim. L'achad l'chosa kol tov. One Jew, he's fine, everything's okay, the family's okay, everybody's doing all right, he has panos, he has watit, everything's good. And he's saying tehillim. Because he says tehillim. V'asheni tavu b'tzaros achmona l'tzlan. The other Jew, Nebuch, is drowning in tzaros, in trouble. Now, you know the difference in how they read tehillim. So he says, Zek koyi rakis at devarim shadi b'dovid ha-melech. The first guy that everything is okay, he's doing fine, when he says tehillim, he's saying David ha-melech's tehillim. Oh, David ha-melech, you want to know what kind of a person David ha-melech was? Say tehillim. And he's saying David ha-melech's tehillim. Kilo misaper ma'isi sh'ayu. Oh, David ha-melech went through this, David ha-melech went through that. And he's saying tehillim. Do you see what David ha-melech went through? But you don't feel any connection to that. Therefore, you say the tehillim like you're saying stam. You don't feel any connection. But the other person, the one who's v'hamaduka b'yisurim tzayek, but the one who's being crushed under his suffering, he screams out. When he says the same pasuk, he says tavati b'vein mitzula. He screams out, "Rabbi Shalom, I'm drowning in the filth." Rabbi Shalom, not like a person who's reading and says Nebuch, he had a bad day. So he's saying Tehillim, he says, "Oh, David HaMelech had such sorrows. He was such a tzaddik. I feel so bad for him." That's not David HaMelech. That's not what he. David HaMelech's Tehillim is because David HaMelech opened up a place for every single Jew till the end of time, that you and I can see ourselves in that Tehillim. That we ourselves, it's happening to us. When you sit now, the person who has everything good, so he doesn't think when he's saying I'm drowning. He doesn't think like that. He just thinks David HaMelech was drowning. I hope it works out. But when a person has his own sorrows, and all of a sudden when he says those same words, Tavati Bivain Mitsula, when he says the same words, it's not I'm not talking about somebody distant from me. Somebody that thousands of years ago wrote a book about his problems. I'm talking about myself, Tavati Bivain Mitsula. I myself, I'm drowning. And that's what it means. Sa'akal shal atzma, kilu David HaMelech, nosan le'irak diburim b'fiv. When you say Tehillim, is David HaMelech, as Mamish gave you, you don't know how to speak in such a beautiful way. David HaMelech gave you words to help you out. But it's your words. It's what you want to say. It's just you didn't know how to articulate these words, so David HaMelech helped you out.
It's not, for example, like we said, Koheles, for example, and you're thinking, oh, Givaldi, but we never think as much as if you see, if you read David HaMelech things, and this is incidental things.
It's always like that. That's we learn all the time like that. Tfilah la'oni ki'atayv. The tefillah of the poor man. So you don't feel poor. I don't care, Baruch Hashem. So he's talking about somebody else. But then you stop and you think, I think David Melch had some stocks also. So who's the Ani he's talking about exactly? Who is this poor man? What do you mean, poor man? Ha'ani misatif kula b'tefiloso b'tefiloso b'ay. When it says kiyatayf, it means that a poor man becomes entirely wrapped up in his davening. Like lesatif b'tzitzis, like the talis. If you see a poor man, he desperately he sees Tehillim, it's him. Therefore, he doesn't just say it as there's me and they're my words and it's two separate things, David HaMelech thousands of years ago. He becomes completely wrapped up in the tefillah. It surrounds him, it fills him, the tefillah. Kain gam bezeh, kesheechot kari v'shoni l'moshel hanal. It says, if you read the sefer, b'nei machshav ha-toiva, so you read what I wrote way back in the beginning, by Ois Beis, all the way in the beginning, at the beginning of the Sefer. What? That a person should worry, that the days of my life are passing in terrible poverty, spiritual poverty, what's wrong with me? When you read the Sefer now the second time, don't just think of that I'm talking to you about me, or I'm writing about some other person here. It's you. you're the one who's saying this. Rakumargish ates dagas nafshay. You should feel the dagas and nefesh, your own dagas nefesh. And it's something you weren't thinking about until now. That I'm spiritually, I'm totally impoverished. I'm an ani mamish. You weren't thinking about that until now. When you learn the sefer, remember we were learning about that horrible description of the day of one's own death, and when you're being lowered into the grave. And here he only described it a little bit. He hasn't in his other psalm even a more detailed description of what is of that day of not just of being lowered into the grave and so on. Says Yom Hamisa, loy ma'isa atakar. You're not reading a ma'isa about somebody that died. Eich ploni tzir la'atzmo. There's somebody that was thinking about how it's going to be like. Look what a wonderful thing. There's somebody that has these thoughts that he's able to picture such a thing. You think it's Rachmanis on my friend that he's going through that he's thinking about that. You hear this? You yourself. You have to think about this yourself now. The second time that you're reading the sefer. And with all the inyan hisayrus, with all of that's in the sefer. Hislavus, Vishaskus, Hamachshava, all that we spoke about, strengthening your way of thinking, strengthening your koiches hanefesh, your koiches your moichin. L'chein, I efshul cholukvei harbe bekuntris hazeh bepamachas. Therefore, I don't suggest now that you're going over it a second time, I don't suggest that you read a lot at a time. The Rebbe says, I suggest that you take a little bit at a time of this medicine. A little bit. Because then you could translate it into your own life and think about it for yourself. When you read something a lot, it says it's not negeya. Because if you read it a little bit, because you can't really become excited about and feel all these contradicting emotions, these conflicting emotions that are discussed in the sefer, shiflus, humility, and simcha, and joy, shvius alev, brokenheartedness, valiya. You can't. These are. What are you going to read this all in a half hour to go through the whole sefer an hour with all these conflicting emotions and ways? No, you have to take one thing at a time. So when I wrote about simcha, so go into that inyan, think about it in your own life. When I spoke about shiflus and anivus, go into that. Vim koyre atab pamachas. If you read it in one shot, shuv rak ma'isa tikva, then you're just reading somebody else's ma'isa. If you read it in one shot, then you're just reading somebody else's ma'isa. You're not taking it in. Because if you were taking it in, you couldn't deal with more than a little bit at a time. So you're just reading it to Maisa, no? Acha Maisa. Lemoides akuntris maat maat, slowly. Loib machshava levad. Not only think about when you're reading, not only to read it with your eyes, like you read the newspaper. Ragam beficha, it's a very important thing. When you learn the sefer, he says, say the words. Gam beficha. Don't just read it with your eyes, but say the words. You hear what he told these guys? I want you to review this every month. Every month to review it. The sefer. He's talking about every month to review the whole sefer. Each day, a little bit. Every month. Till when, he didn't say. I guess until you feel that we're becoming kedoshim. Something's happening. But like this, the question is this a trufa? Is this medicine? The teretz is that it is, but it has to be taken properly, and it has to be, and it has to be consistent. And if it's taken consistently and it's taken in the proper dosages, then certainly it's a wondrous trufa. It's an unbelievable medicine. It's an amazing thing that for a tiny little sefer, for a few dollars, that a person can have such medication. And we don't have to worry about the insurance. We don't have to worry about anything, except the review over and over. We're not finished. We're going to continue with Hashem.